was your wife planning on coming to the conference? And I said, no. You know, I said, we're, you know, a lot of times I'll go, she'll stay back. And he says, well, that's going to happen on Wednesday night after conference time. So Miranda has been Minister Miranda for, I don't know, 10, 12 years. I don't know how long we've even been with Kings, but she operates as a pastor, and of course everybody calls her pastor here. And but there is something about the honoring from Dr. Morocco that's, you know, please, we take very, very serious. And so there's a level of impartation that takes place during that meeting that I can't explain it other than the fact that it's something that you truly experience. And it was, yeah, so that'll actually be happening the Wednesday after conference. And praise God. So, Miranda, praise God. That's, yeah. And I know you're not doing that to be recognized. And so if you're mad at your birthday, don't be mad on your birthday. That's the day I could get away with this. So, amen. So I'm picking on you tonight, aren't I? I'm being weird. Okay, well, that's okay too. So, hey, you guys in Mark chapter 2? Mark chapter 2. But I'm excited. I'm excited. That's going to be a great, it's going to be a great, great time. So, Mark chapter 2, verse 1. It says, and again he entered Capernaum after some days, and heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so that there were no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Everybody say, and he preached the word to them. Amen. Let me keep going. It says, then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive the sins but God alone? But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that he had reasoned that within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or say, arise, take up your bed and walk. But that you may know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And immediately he rose, took up his bed, and he went out in the presence of them all, so that they were all amazed and glorifying God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Father, I thank you tonight for the word, and I thank you for the spirit of truth, Father. I pray, Lord, even tonight, give us ears to hear, a heart to receive, and Father, give us faith to see everything that you have for us. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. You know, I preached out of this text several different areas, but I felt like over the next few Wednesdays, I'm going to preach out of this text, because there were four things that I felt like the Lord was showing me, and I want to start tonight with the first one. And the four things was the word. He preached the word. You'll see another part of this, the faith of the believer. You'll see another part of this, the controlling spirit, which is of the religious spirits of our day. There are religious spirits, okay? There are spirits. There's the Antichrist spirit. There's spirits, and I want to talk about that, because there are things in this world that come against the body of Christ. And lastly, is the go. Because you'll see something in this text, because the paralytic man, you know, what did he do? He got up and he went. And so I'm gonna cover these four things, and tonight I'm gonna jump into the first part of this. And if you're taking notes tonight, you can just say the word. He preached the word. So that's the first part of this tonight. You know, many years ago, and I've shared this testimony. Some of you may not heard it, but many years ago, I remember when we were getting ready to leave to go to Hawaii. You know, I was very I was very much just talking with the Lord. Lord, you know, what do you want me to do? And whether I was into a dream or caught up in the spirit, I honestly don't know. But and whether it was the audible voice or in my spirit, I knew. I felt the very presence of God come into that bedroom. And like I said, whether I can't explain it, other than the fact that I heard these words, preach my word. And I was alarmed. I woke up, my eyes were pierced back, and I'm like, oh, that was God, you know. And, you know, it wasn't like it was beyond anything that I could comprehend. I just heard those words preach my word. And so I carry that, to be honest with you, as my assignment, as my purpose, because I knew that when we were being called out into the ministry field, I knew that God had, you know, God wanted me to do something very specific. He didn't tell me to, do this or that. He told me to preach my word. And so that's one of the things that I really try to stay the course and preach his word. You know, last night, and even in Pizza Hut last night, I stopped by there after the go team went out, and we were downstairs, and you know, all five of us closed out in the evening and we prayed, and I said, I don't know how you leave a meeting like this. I mean, we just seen God's power move, and there was such a love and it was such a good night, and I said, we just go home, I guess, you know. And I wasn't done though. I stopped by Pizza Hut and a girl just, she was there, and she comes up and she's wore out and she's just tired. I mean, she's just, and I said, how's your day been? She's like, it's been a long day. It's been election day. And I just, you know, and I just, you know, I said, well, how can I pray for you? And, you know, and I think it's not to be recognized, but it's for God. It's because, see, the preaching of the word can flow out of us. It's the word that can flow out of us at any given time. But it's like you recognize that God has you in a place and a purpose for a reason sometimes. And she was like, you know, I know you. And I said, you do. Had my King's hat on. So, you know, I got to get some King's hats. Amen. We're going to get some King's hats. Amen. And she said, I recognize you. You're the pastor. She said, you know, I've been to King's. And just as sweet as she could be, and she's like, I've been to King's. You prayed for me a couple years ago. I give my heart to the Lord. I got my own place now. I got this. I got that. God's done this. And she just began to testify. And I was like, well, what do you need right now? I got excited, you know. I got excited. I said, what do you need? She's like, I need a car. I said, well, let's believe the Lord. You know, he'll help you with a vehicle. Amen. And so we just, even right there, people were coming in. And I got my hands through the window area there. Just got her by the hands. Father, right now, this girl walks in. And, it was a moment. It was a moment that got, you know, God's lining things up that we as believers. Amen. It's not, oh, he's a pastor. He's supposed to do that. It's that we can do these things. Amen? So I prayed with her. Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for who you are. Amen, Father. I love you, Lord. Lord, I pray. You know, she needs a car. She needs to be able to get to work. Amen? You know, Lord, let's pray for even a better job. You know, I said, you believe that, right? And, so we just went through all that and prayed. But it's so important that we understand that with God, man, all things are possible. Amen. That, you know, that I would walk in there at that moment of time, you know, and it was just the fact, I recognize your hat. You're the preacher guy there. Yeah, okay, you know. But, you know, these are just moments that God will present to his people. Amen. So, but, you know, my personal testimony was that God revealed that to me. You know, preach my word. You preach my word. And, sometimes we're looking for the big aha moments in life. We're looking for the red carpet, right? We're looking for the stars. We're looking for everything. And I didn't know my life would bring me back to Fairmont, you know, at that point. You know, but it's like that moment what I received was what I needed. What I received was what I needed from God. And because that word has not only carried me to this place, but I'm going to tell you, it carried me very far the first few months that I was away from home. It carried me. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, the Bible says in John 14:12, it says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. The greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. You know, and I've always believed that scripture, that the Bible says greater works we will do. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's talking to you and I. I've often wondered that, because how could we compete with Jesus, right? There's not enough books, the Bible says in John. There's not enough books to contain the miracles and the things that Jesus has done. You know, there's not enough. But you marvel at this scripture, and I've always thought, you know, And it is my opinion, but I believe one of the things even around this passage of Scripture is that it's because Jesus is multiplied through us. He's multiplied through the believer. He's multiplied through everybody in this room. Guess what? We look like Jesus. Say, look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Say, you look like Jesus. Amen. If he's in you, right? If he's in you, you look like him. But think about this. You know, I always think that I marvel at this because it's so interesting, because greater works we will do. How is it possible that we could do greater works than Jesus? It's that a global church would pick up and run, that a global body would pick up and run with the message. Amen. And I'm gonna get into this tonight, and I've got to keep moving because of time tonight. So 8:30, you know, I try to be respectful with our kids and school and all that. So praise God. Not that I watch the clock. I don't do that very well anyway. But praise God. But greater works we will do. Amen. Everybody say, greater works I will do. See, it's an assignment, right? So don't think, well, that's for somebody else. That say it's for me. It's Participation Wednesday. Say it's for me. Because that's it. It's for you. It's for you to grab a hold of. Amen. I know this seems very simple, but we're going to keep moving. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Amen. I don't know why I'm just giving you a mic in case. She had some good points today. I might throw you in this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. It says, I charge you therefore, I'm sorry, you guys there? 2 Timothy 4, chapter 1. It says, I charge you therefore before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. I'm sorry. Let me read that one more time. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside by fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Amen. Praise God. So even out of this text, you know, you think about the assignment for the believer is that, you know, we're all given the ministry of reconciliation. You've been taught this. You hear this. It's that, you know, we're all given the ability to be able to play a piece or play a part in the body of Christ. Now, there are different offices. I'm not here to talk about the office of a pastor, an evangelist, a teacher, a prophet, or an apostle tonight. There are different offices, amen? But we're all given the gift, the ministry of reconciliation, which basically means is that we can be the mouthpiece. We can be the mouthpiece to the world. That we all can tell people about Jesus, amen? You know, last night we went out, and you know, it was so funny because we were at one of the families, one of the Chukis family's house. We were there last night, and we're having Kool-Aid, and I looked out the window, and here's Brother John. I don't know where he's at tonight. I looked out the window, and I said, "There's Brother John out there praying with some guy that's walking." Here, Brother John had his hands. I said, "Anybody got a phone? I want to take a picture." And John's out there, right along. I think it was Locust. Is it Locust? Yeah, it runs through there. It's Locust. And there's a lot of traffic. And here's John standing on the corner of the road with this guy with his hands laid on him and just praying for him. And I was like, praise God, Brother John's got one. It is that being prepared in every season. Amen. You know what he was doing? He said, listen, we're kind of parked in the wrong spot right here, because it was up by where Jesse and Christine live, that side street that kind of comes up, and there's a 16-foot box van, or our church van, kind of in the road. And we're like, John's like, why don't I stay out here with the van in case somebody comes up, because it is kind of in a blind spot, and if it needs to be moved, I'll move it. I said, are you sure you don't want to go in? And he was like, no, I feel like I need to stay out here. You see what God does? Because, you know, what did we pray for before we left this building? We pray, Father, I thank you tonight that, Lord, that if there's an opportunity to lead someone to the Lord, that would exist tonight. Father, that you would use us tonight, Father, that we would go and be used by you tonight. When you pray, you should expect God to think God things to happen. You guys with me tonight? You should expect things to happen when you pray. When you pray, please don't be slack in prayer. Please don't be slack in prayer. Pastor Brad's talking about prayer. You know, our numbers have dropped a little bit. Let's get them back up. Praise Jesus. There's my infomercial in prayer. We need you in prayer. Dr. Morocco, he's like, I need you in prayer. Pray. Amen. Be with me in prayer. Corporately, there's an anointing in prayer. Amen. Be in prayer. Set your faith. Set your time. If you don't take time to set your faith on how many days you're going to be in prayer, you won't be there. And it's a lack of planning. I have to plan. Amen. I'm working at it. Praise you. I'm working to become a better planner. Amen. So, amen. My wife, you know, she's a great planner. I have to work doubly hard at being a planner. But plan. Amen. Plan to do these things. Why do I say that? It's because I have a senior global leader that says that. Now, if Dr. Morocco called everybody up in this house and said, you know, how many days a week are you in prayer? You know, I'm not busting on you. But it's how we grow the church. It's how the church grows. These are faith things that we do to keep things moving, to keep the ball rolling. Amen? These things are so important. Praise God. And I thank you that you guys pray for Miranda and I and Dr. Morocco. It doesn't go unnoticed, I tell you. I promise you, it doesn't go unnoticed. But you'll see something in this text. And, you know, Paul's saying something. He's saying right here at the very beginning, he's saying, and think about this, the what we're given is the ability to be able to preach the word. Can I tell you that you're given the right and the ability from God, from heaven, to be able to preach the word? That's an actual privilege from God. Wow. God's entrusting me with something. He's entrusting me to be able to tell people about Jesus. Have you ever looked at it that way? As I was thinking about this today, God, wow. You trust me. You trust me, Lord. You trust me. But he says this, he says, you know, Paul talking to Timothy, he said, be ready in season. So how many seasons do we have here? Four. So the Bible says, be ready in season. So is there any season that we're not supposed to be ready? It's summer. I'm taking off. I'm going to the beach for a week. I'm going to the beach for a month. You know, I remember a pastor listening to this one time saying, he said, you know, I had a group of pastors come to me and say, you know, as a pastor, don't you have that place that, you know, you go to that nobody knows where you feel like it's where you can go and just unwind and have a beer? These are pastors. You know, you have a place where nobody knows where you go, where you can just kind of cut loose for a period. And he's like, no, I don't have a place like that. You know, because that removes that thing of being ready in season and out, you know, every season. You know, I got invited to a Christian conference thing, and I wasn't surprised. He said, you know, you're invited to this, but he said, just so you know, you might see some people really getting lit up that are pastors. Yeah, that ship sailed in my life. I don't have to be around it. I mean, you know, that's the thing. I mean, people think, I don't drink anymore. It's okay for me to. I don't like being around it. I don't like being around things that are going to pull me backwards. You know, I don't. It's association. I don't even like it. It's there. There's nothing like, oh, he's stupid. That's funny. He just fell off the dock, or he just did that or did that because he's drinking. It's sad. I watched a girl yesterday. I mean, all I could do was stop, pull off the side of the car and pray. Because she had just shot up and she's squirming and worming all down by the bridge. And I'm like, Jesus, help her. Help her, Lord. The guy's there trying to comfort her. I mean, be ready in season. What season is it? It's Jesus' season. I don't take him off. I'm going to start a series, you know, I don't know how, through, but, you know, we have to imitate Christ. We have to love like Christ. I'm going to preach this weekend. I'm going to preach a message about loving Christ. Pastor Josh sent out to all of us pastors a powerful word. But you know, we've got to love like Christ. Amen. We've got to imitate him, but we've also got to love like him. You've got to love like Christ. Amen. You've got to imitate the things that he does. Amen. Amen. You guys with me tonight? Amen. Okay. So be ready in every season so that we understand that there's you don't get a vacation from being a Christian. Okay? Once you get saved, you give your heart to the Lord, you're a full-time Christian. It's not like I'm going on vacation. I'm going to become a sinner for a week. Why? Why would you do that? Why? How dumb is that? That's what Dr. Barker says. How dumb can you be and breathe? I hear him say that a lot anymore. So, how dumb could you be and breathe? You know, he says that stuff, and it's good. It's true. So be ready in every season. Convinced. And I love this passage of Scripture because you'll see what Paul's saying to Timothy. It's very special because how do we convince people that Jesus is real? How do we convince Jesus at people that the power of the cross can open things up in their life? How do we convince people? Now, this is not a church that's going to go hold signs downtown and says, you're going to burn in hell if you don't repent. You don't convince people by damning them to hell. You don't convince people that there's power in God and never operate in power. This is not a powerless church. This is a powerful church because of Him. This is, I watched God move last night. God breaking strongholds. That's what God does. That's what God did last night, right? I mean, you watched this, the power of God fall in a hotel room. We were praying in the Holy Ghost. I was hoping that it was going into the other rooms. Some of the greatest meetings I've had has been in a hotel room. Minister Mar, you were Minister Lehigh. They called. Who's Brad Reiser there? Yeah. What's going on? We're having a Holy Ghost party. I don't know how many, 27. There was a lot of people in the hotel room. Amen. Where was that at? Maui Beach or something? You're looking at like you're confused. You were there. Maybe you weren't there. I don't know. Was she there? KBH. That's right. I don't know where it was at. We come out of a Nathan Morse meeting. Fired up, full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's when he threw his coat over Zephon and launched him across the floor. But you convince, okay? You convince people. How do you convince people? It's demonstration. You convince people with demonstration. You can't go love God and hate your brother and sister. You can't say that you love God and then go hate your neighbor. See, Christians, I love God, but you know my neighbor. You wouldn't believe how my neighbor is. You would my uncle, man, he's a blah, 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 blah. We don't love God. If we say that we love God, then we better love people. We better love our neighbors. We better love the people that are around us. Amen. It's so how do you convince? You convince by examples. By what you do. The actions of a believer. You should look like a believer. Amen. We should look like believers. If I come in, you know, if I come in and I go over here and just, you know, we praise God. You guys understand. We as pastors, we praise God because we love God. I don't do it to please you. I don't care. You worship God because you please Him. But if I come in here and I'm just over here growling, people are going to think something's wrong with me, right? They're going to think, well, what's wrong with Pastor? Somebody's got to cast a demon out of him, you know. What's wrong with him? You know, you lead by example, but you see also in this you convince people God's real by how you demonstrate God's how God's love demonstrates and comes through you. Am I making sense? That you as a believer have to you demonstrate God. The very God that lives in you should flow through you. Don't bottle it up. Don't keep Him inside. Don't say, well, you can only come out on Sundays and Wednesdays. But no, it's Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. It's Sunday mornings. It's Sunday nights. It's whatever time. That you got to stir it up. Amen. You're the one that's got to make things. You got to get things moving. If only he would do that. If only she would do that. No, no, no. You've got to stir it up. Amen. How do you convince people you love Jesus? You do the things He did. You pray. You fast. You lay hands on the sick. You believe that they will recover. Amen. You believe these things. I believe what the Word says. Amen. I'm not moved by man's idea of how God should operate. I'm moved by how God says He's going to operate. And He'll do that in my life. He'll do that in your life. Amen. He'll do it. He'll do it through you. And if you listen, if you're not a willing vessel, he'll find somebody else. That's alarming sometimes. If he's not allowed to move through you, he'll find somebody else. The most dangerous Christian is somebody brand new that gets saved. I've got a few guys that I've led to the Lord recently, and I'm after them because don't allow the enemy to followers. He's mad at the church. He's been hurt. And he uses that one person. The enemy, you'll get a phone call or a text from somebody you don't even know. Who are you? Well, I'm from Idaho. I just had a feeling you got hurt in church. I just thought I'd search you out. Me too. And then, you know, before you know it, those two will be fighting. I mean, that's the thing with the enemy. The enemy doesn't care just as long as he can take you out. Just as long as he can get some slip a foot in there and say, you know, I'm going to throw you off. That's what the enemy does. Not us, right? Everybody say, not me. Because, see, that's the thing. We've got to be bold and we've got to be strong. We've got to be able to spot the tactics of the enemy. We've got to be able to cut that off. If there's a root, we take our shovel, we dig it up and say, no, not me. Not me. Can I be honest? These are common things that you have to do as a believer. You have to go after this stuff. You know, probably even tonight, I probably have said something that somebody's like, yeah, you hit that one there, Pastor. You touched my nerve. I'm not doing it. I'm not trying. I love you. I'm not trying to do it on purpose, but allow the Holy Ghost to move. You know, if there's a root, allow the Holy Ghost to come in and say, let me help you with that. Let me send somebody into your life that, you know, my brother, he came and helped me. Because he dealt with an issue in my life that I needed cut off. And when he, you know what the rebuke did? It corrected me, but it brought me into a place where, like, you know what, praise God, you're right. You're right. You're right. That's what it allowed. You know what, God, he wants me healed. Can I tell you tonight, God wants you healed. He wants you to be healed. He wants you to be healed so you're not carrying stuff. You don't carry it to your next assignment. You don't carry it to your next place. He wants you healed so that you can bring that to other people. Then many false prophets will arise and they will deceive many. Many is not a few. Many is a lot. So in the last days, this is what's going to happen. Well, you know, I tried church. It didn't work for me. You know, the hardest part for me is watching somebody that's been in church, felt the moving of the Holy Ghost, been in powerful, powerful meetings, and then just walk away. Watch Bible school students and for 2 years get enamored by the Holy Ghost and go out one night and lose it all. Because they went out one night and they lost it all. Not me. Not you. Not me. Not you. Come here a second. Tell me. I want you to tell them what you told the president of WU. This is a good place to close. But you had an assignment, didn't you? Come here a second. Can you tell? I don't mean to put you.
So when I was graduating, I was walking across the stage, and he wasn't even shaking anybody's hands, but I felt like for a long time that I was supposed to tell him something, and I didn't know what it was, but the Lord just put it on my heart. You know, today's the day. So I go over to him, and I hug him. You know, you trap him. And then and then I said, if you want to change this campus, you got to lead these students to Jesus.
Amen.
And that was it.
Amen. Amen. Audience of one has one. Right there. You know, you want to change this campus, they need Jesus. Amen. I told her, I said, you'll see him again and he'll remember that, but that's a seed sown. That's a seed sown. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I even when she shared that the other night, I was like, I felt that's prophetic. I feel that's what we're going to see happen. We're going to see our college campuses break open. Amen. We're going to see God do things that there would be an outpouring of his Spirit. Amen. Amen. You know, Jesus says in Matthew 24, verse 11, he says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. Amen. That's where we're at. We're going to preach the gospel to the nations. Amen. Nations are coming to Fairmont, West Virginia. Our Chukis family, praise God. We're gonna get all you guys in church with us. How many are here? 30? Maybe? What do you guys, how many do you think? I'm putting you on the spot. I won't. I'll quit. I just catch this real quick, and I want to close with this because, you know, Paul goes on to tell Timothy, he says, be watchful in all things. He talks about the end times. He said, you know, these are the things that are going to happen. You know, scoffers are going to come. They're going to say, yeah, you've been waiting on Jesus. You know, and you hear that. You hear that everywhere. You know, the gender confusion thing, everything that's going on. Males want to be females. Females want to be boys. Hormone therapy, all this stuff. There's such an inundation of the attack on the family. Fatherlessness, I mean, you know, you see that. And you see a lot of these things where the enemy has really ramped up his game. But you know, see, this is the thing. Why is Paul telling Timothy to be watchful? Because see, if you don't remain watchful as a believer, these little things will creep in. They'll creep in. They'll creep in. They'll creep in. It'll be a nudge. You know, that's why we don't compromise, guys. You know, yeah, that rated R movie's showing. It'll be okay one time. Man, you don't compromise. You don't compromise. You know, we'll try to watch sometimes. We'll put a series on, and it's like, you know, you'll be watching a series, and you're like 25 minutes into it, and you feel like, this is kind of good. And then all of a sudden, they'll put one stupid thing in it, and you just feel like breaking the remote, right? Like, why? Why do we have to have this in here to make a point? We were in a series for, I don't know how many episodes, 7, 8, 10 episodes. And then they put a scene in, and I'm like, this was kind of a good show until this point. And so, but you don't compromise. You stand your ground, amen? Because you don't want to give the enemy a foothold. Amen? This is not the church that's going to say, well, you know, it's okay, you can do this, you can do that. No. You know what sin, when, you know, God says it's sin, when you know that sin, you say no. You know, it's crazy the things that you hear now and you see in churches that meet in bars and drink. Get loaded on a Sunday and preach the gospel. Smoke pounds of weed on a Sunday morning and have church. I don't get it. This stuff it happens. Paul's telling Timothy, be watchful. Guys, listen, you have to be watchful over your home. You have to be watchful if your kids are in school. You got to be watchful. you got to be watchful in the summers, guys, you know, girls, half whatever now. You've got to be watchful. You know, oh, Pastor, it's okay to look. No, it's not. You want Jesus said? If your sin's causing you to, if your eye's causing you to sin, you pluck it out. I mean, how serious does Jesus take this thing? Pretty serious, right? So, you know, I'm a pastor. I should preach this stuff, right? You guys know it's in your Bible, right? So it's this stuff is serious. But we've got to remain watchful. You as a believer have to remain watchful. Amen. And, you know, I didn't get into because it's important because I started out the text because Jesus, and this is where I'll go next week, because as Jesus, as he entered into Capernaum, and after some days, it was heard that he was in the house, and immediately many gathered together so that they were no longer, there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And Jesus says, and he preached the word to them. And what I want to cover next week is what did Jesus preach to them? What did Jesus preach to them? Hey, will you guys do some homework for me? What did Jesus preach to them? It's in your Bible. It's homework. What did Jesus preach to them? Some of you may already know, but hold it. But what did Jesus preach to them? When Jesus came and he went throughout, what did Jesus preach? So, what did Jesus do? What was his assignment? You guys, you like homework, right? So what did Jesus preach? What did Jesus do? Amen. Praise God. I don't have anything else. Praise God. So you guys will be able to answer that next week, right? You have some scriptural references for me. There's several. What did Jesus do? What did he preach? And that's where I was going to get to, but I'll get to that next week. Amen. Praise God. Let's go ahead and stand. Pastor Brandon, you have anything? Go ahead. Come on. Get the mic. It's your birthday. It's your birthday. It's your birthday.
I just want to encourage people to understand the importance of teaching. A lot of people don't understand the importance of it. They just want to instruct.
Coming from a teacher.
Yeah, it is.
So,
and a lot of people just want to. In fact, I was in the Dollar Tree just like 3 hours ago, and some lady was in there just like yelling at her kids about everything, you know. And I'm like, teach your child. Don't yell at them and, well, I'm not buying that for you because your dad bought it for you the last time and all you do is tear it up. And it's just like you're not doing. In fact, everybody in the store can hear you, for one. Everybody's like looking and it's just like obnoxious. Like, teach your children. And it reminded me of, you know, when my kids were young and just the moments that I would take and say, you know, teach them whatever it is that they want. Well, did you bring money for that? Well, did you already spend your money? Okay, well, that was your decision. You make so much money. You have the money to spend. I already, you know, got you something yesterday. So if you want extra, you're going to have to buy that for yourself. You teach them concepts. And you don't, like, just yell at them. Teach them. In fact, that's why the Bible says fathers don't exasperate your children. Because, and it doesn't mean that wives are allowed to. It just means that fathers have a tendency to go from here to here a little quicker. Just stop it. I said stop it, you know. So it's like an extra point. Fathers, don't exasperate your children. Instruct them in the ways of the Lord. And the whole idea behind it is because if you can imagine for a moment, like a frame of something, and if you're laying boards across, but the only foundation is the boundary. Are you following me so far? Like the stage. If there's only the boundary and then the boards are laid across, as soon as I get so far in, as soon as I take a couple steps in, those boards are going to give more because there's nothing underneath them if I don't put anything underneath it. And so the more I go, the more they're going to bow, and the easier it is it's going to be for it to break. So the boundary is what we all want to yell sometimes. Stop doing that because the Bible says so, you know, but we're not explaining why. The why is the boards, the joists in between that gives the person the understanding, the foundation. The more they understand and the more they know, then the more likely they're going to be able to have that firm foundation, and they're going to know why they're doing what they're doing, you know. And it's just like, Ryan was over at the house the other day helping with some things, and I came out, and I, Pastor Brad was working with him, and I said, well, did you let him run the saw? Because if I'm going to teach, then I want to teach someone so they know how to do it, not me just say, and this is what you do, and you push this button, and you put it down, and then the board's cut like that. Did you see? Okay. Like, don't just show, teach. Why? Because whenever they get the hands-on experience themselves and they understand how it feels, and I said, no, well, you have to make sure the board's all the way up, and then you have to make sure that this is going on. You got to hold it tight because sometimes that board can flip, and all of these little things that you don't get by standing back watching. And you've got to teach a child in the way that they should go. As disciples, we have to teach one another, not just say, stop doing that. Well, the Bible says, don't do this. Why? What's the concept behind it? Because of holiness. And without holiness, none of us will see the Lord. We want to be in his presence. And conviction can do X, Y, Z. It separates us. And so we draw near to him, and he draws near to us. The more someone understands about their relationship with the Lord, about things in life, the more that they are going to be likely to stand strong. Wrong. So I just wanted to expand on that because I feel like sometimes people don't take the role of a teacher much. They don't think that way. So you kind of, if you don't naturally think that way, you have to kind of make yourself begin to think that way. Why am I expecting this person or this child to just get it? Like, teach them. I had both of my parents were, they taught. They were teachers, not in their trade, but they taught me. And so they would teach me the why. In fact, I got a whole lesson the other day about tires and from my dad. And so now I understand something. And so now when I get my tires changed, I know to go in and tell them to take the wire brush and to go around the rim because tires today are aluminum, not steel. And so if you don't do that, they'll corrode. And then when they put the tire on, then it's more likely to have air leaks because the corrosion, and when they put the rubber tire on, and it will cause leaks because of the corrosion and all the rust. So now I understand that. And so what does it make me do? It makes me go in and I say, hey, will you wire brush that before you put the tire on, please? And when you understand something, it causes a different reaction in your life. So when you understand why you're doing what you're doing, it makes you more bold and confident in what you're doing.
Everybody got a tire lesson, right? Yeah, I was like, everybody getting tires changed. You're gonna. It's funny, you Miranda was saying that because, you know, you learn as a parent. You learn how to be a teacher with your kids, and I learned things from my dad, but it wasn't like my dad was taking the time to really teach me things, and so I've had to work at that as a father. And I remember the time because Zane started reading the Bible when he was like 8 and 9, so, you know, he was reading the Bible every year. And. And I remember Zane looked at me one time. Said, Dad, you know what the word says, right? Don't exasperate your children. I was like, oh, brah. And I, you know, but he was right because I just jumped to something and I responded and I got, you know, and I just looked at him and I said, come on, let's go for a drive. It wasn't, I'm going to take him down the road and give him a whip or anything. It was that, you know, you're right. And at that moment, it was a teachable moment for me because he was showing me something in the Word, but it was like, and then the Holy Spirit was dealing with me, you know, that I should have taken the time to explain this to him. And it ended up in a good conversation. You know, this was how I was raised. You know, my dad said, mow the yard, boy. Okay. And if I didn't do it, when I got home, I wished I would have mowed the yard. Praise Jesus. So at 10, you know, it's 11, 7. Whenever he put a mower in my hand, I don't know. Praise God. But you know, don't exasperate your children. It's, you know, these are important things. I mean, you learn. But guys, please, remain teachable. Remain teachable. Amen. You know, today I was learning some stuff. Remain teachable. You know, set yourself up to remain teachable. From the Holy Ghost and from people God puts in your life. You know, listen, if you're done learning in here, you need to go somewhere else. If you think you can't teach me anything, you're not learning anything, please, I'm not trying to be, go somewhere where you can learn or go somewhere where you can be a blessing to someone. I don't want that to ever sound hard, but if we want to teach and we want to preach and we want people to grow, amen? But, you know, and these are honest conversations. I mean, I've had with a few people, you know. Listen, I don't want to hold anybody back. Amen. I don't want to hold anybody back. We don't want to hold anybody back. We want to see people blessed, and we want to see people accelerating for God. Amen. Life is too short. Too short to be in any place of just stagnation or you feel stagnant. Amen. Amen. And praise God. Let's pray. Father,